the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes in confession I asked people, how are your prayers? And once in a while, maybe someone who hasn't come to confession to me that often will try to let me know that while they don't do morning or evening prayers, they really have no rule of prayer. They do pray during the day. And I think what they mean is that I know that there is this practice. Not that all of us ought not to remind ourselves of Christ, keep him constantly in mind, pray constantly. But there is a way of praying during the day where people include God in their activities, more or less. And if they need help with something, they ask him. And if it goes well, they thank him. And so they believe that they have a kind of invisible friend, and his name is God. And people wonder, what is this about the fear of God? God is my friend. He goes wherever I go. He helps me. He's a friend that goes with me during the day. It's a strange way of understanding our relationship to God. Absolutely 100% self-centered. God is something that is added to my life. St. Paul talks about us being co-workers with God. He doesn't talk about God being a co-worker with us. Our understanding of prayer is something that we have to think about from time to time. We have a special opportunity this morning when we hear about what Jesus did after he sent his disciples into a boat out across the sea by themselves, and then told the multitudes, those same multitudes that he had shared the 5 loaves and the 2 fish with, he sent them away, and he went up onto a mountain to pray. Why does the second person of the Holy Trinity incarnate need to pray? What is his prayer? St. Theophylact says he does not need to pray as we do, and yet he prays. We saw him pray, not for the world, but for those who God had given him, that they might be one as we are one. And so we know that he prays to include those who have come to him. We know that he prays that kind of prayer. And having just divided the 5 loaves and the 2 fish among thousands, certainly his prayer would have something to do with the inclusion of those who came and who shared that meal, which is a kind of foreshadowing of communion. It makes me think of the way that we are baptized, and yet we have a long way to go in our spiritual life. This was the beginning for those who had come to Christ and shared food and drink with him. They had come to be with him, and he fed them. It's a precedent. A lot of things need to be done yet. A lot of things need to happen in his life during his ministry. The cross, death, the destruction of death, resurrection, ascension, sending the Holy Spirit. A lot of things have to happen yet. And yet there at the beginning, there is a beginning of this process of his calling people to him, including people within his oneness with the Father, bringing them in that direction. That's a kind of intercession. When we think of intercessory prayer, often we think of asking God for something special, for someone else. Christ is asking for something special for others, but he's not doing it as we do it. When we do it from a kind of way of thinking where actually, spiritually, we are imprisoned in a way of understanding the meaning of life that is all about the world. When we intercede in ways that have to do with our well-being in the world. Christ's intercessory prayer, and for that matter, the intercessory prayer of the Theotokos, the Mother of God, the intercessory prayer of the saints, the intercessory prayer of spiritual guides who have now departed from us, and we know are saints. Their intercessory prayer is a sharing in Christ's intercessory prayer. Jesus Christ is prayer incarnate. Prayer incarnate. God prays for us. The Metropolitan Philaret had a prayer where he asks God, "Pray thou thyself in me. Make your prayer live in me so that I can pray to you with your prayer." That's the nature of prayer. It is a joining of two natures. Christ is a joining of two natures. Prayer is a joining of two natures. Our prayer is a joining of our nature with God through Christ, who is both fully God and fully man. Prayer is about union. Prayer is about joining ourselves to him. Christ's prayer is about his calling those who had come to him and those who will come to him, bringing them together so that they will be one as he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. That's the nature of Christ's prayer. And it should be the nature of our prayer too. We shouldn't pray only for things that we need in this life, in this world, as though it's a matter of God helping us to live a life where we only need him for special requests. If our prayer to God is for him to enable us to be able to do things for ourselves, then we're asking him to separate us from him, to keep us separate from him, to make it possible for us to live without him except for special requests. God will not hear or answer those prayers because they are exactly the opposite of what prayer is meant to be. We are told that when we pray, we should go into a closet, a quiet place, because your Father is in secret. That's where we can do the work of coming closer and closer to Christ. Closer and closer to the Father through the oneness that we already have with the Father through Christ, who is both fully God and fully man, God incarnate. We are able to come close to the Father through him, and that's why we pray. And when we intercede for others, we bring their names into the presence of God. We don't ask God to do specific and particular things that we are certain are exactly the things that are needed. We bring their names into the presence of God along with us. Just what Jesus the Christ was doing on the mountain after having fed the 5,000. We are told that he prays into the night.
And by that time, his apostles are out in the midst of the sea. And a storm is beginning to come up. And finally, he goes out to them at the fourth hour, dawn, the beginning of the next day. He has prayed through the night. And now he is going out to them. And just the way it always is at the beginnings, even though this is not, as people often portray it, a miracle done by Christ. Look, he does miracles. He walks on the water. He feeds the 5,000. He is a miracle worker. This coming to his apostles across the sea on the water is like his revelation of himself to Peter, James, and John on the mountain. It is a self-revelation of him to them as God. People go walk on the water, but he can because he is God. He created the heavens and the earth. What is it for him to walk across the water if he is revealing the fact that he is who he is? But the apostles, they don't say, look, I see now he is Christ, God. No, they think he's a spirit. They are where they are. They have a long way to go. Just like us, just like the people who came and were fed by Christ, but had a long way to go spiritually. People that Jesus for sure remembered, mentioned in his prayer so that they would come closer. And now St. Peter responds to Christ's words, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter, if it is you, Lord, then let me come to you. Let me come to you. Call me to you. Bring me to you. He doesn't ask, if it's you, do the miracle and let me be able to walk across the water so that I can do it. No, he says the other way. Let me come unto you. And Jesus responds, calls Peter to him. Even though he is coming to Christ, out of fear of the howl of the wind, Peter doubts, begins to sink into the water, and Jesus reaches down to him in response to his second prayer. Lord, save me. And Christ responds, two kinds of prayer. Let me come unto you. Lord, save me. Jesus answers both of those types of prayer. There is a foundation there. The foundation is not a foundation that we build by our spiritual effort. The foundation that is there is the foundation of Christ, who is at the same time fully God and fully man, who is, as we say, prayer incarnate. God's prayer to bring us to him. And those who respond, respond and ask to be brought to him. They put themselves in his presence. They forget the world, as Peter forgot the world when he asked Christ to let him come to him. Was he thinking about the world at that point? About the waves, about the storm? No. He was focused on Christ. And that prayer of Christ and Peter's prayer were one prayer. They were joined by that prayer. And he was able to begin across the water. Jesus did not need to pray as we need to pray because he has no distance to go to be one with the Father. We do. We pray as we do because we have a distance to go. Because we are beginning far away from him and we need to move toward him. We need to pray evening and morning. We need to pray with a forgetfulness of the world during that time that we spend in prayer. Jesus spent time from his life in the world, from his 33 years in the world, in prayer.
It was part of the establishment of the foundation that we have, that we can depend upon. Something already done and established that we can move toward. We have to begin where we are and move through our prayer, morning and evening, making the effort to extend that prayer out into our lives so that we are separated as little as possible from the kind of oneness with the Father that Jesus Christ made possible for us so that we can live this new life. That is the nature of prayer. Not a kind of prayer that's based on the idea that I am first, I am primary, my life in the world is more important than the lives of other people in the world, and my material support in the world is more important than anything else, and God is the one that I go to for that. That is not a Christian understanding of prayer. God knows what we need. Well, what we need, first of all, is to begin to move across the chaos of the sea of the lives that we live through all of those things that want to pull us away from God and others, and ask that His prayer be our prayer. Pray thou thyself in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.